Okay. First thing I'd like to talk to you about is just growing up in Payette, Idaho, and what that was like, and when you started playing
Payette.
I knew I was going to make that mistake. And you know, when you started playing baseball.
Well, those were great years for me. Growing up in a small town in Idaho, people say, "How'd you ever learn to play baseball?" But I started playing when I was very young, about 8 years old, and played through grade school and then on into junior high school and high school and some years of semi-pro. We didn't have Little League ball in those days. We had what they called knothole baseball, which was similar to Little League but not as complex and not as far-reaching as Little League is today, but similar type program. Then I played 4 years of American Legion baseball, which I think I probably got more experience playing American Legion baseball than anything else. We were on a state championship team there, and then semi-pro, we won the state championship in semi-pro baseball, and some championships in high school. We had some very good teams.
What position did you play in high school?
Well, in those days, I played shortstop and some third base.
Okay. And what how did you hit back then?
Not too bad. I it seemed like I always played with older players, so older boys, and then older men as I got a little bit older, and I think that was a thing that really helped me get the experience playing with older guys.
Who put the first baseball in your hand?
Well, I guess it was my father. My father helped me. Not only with baseball, but football, basketball, and some track, and he used to teach my brother and I how to punch a punching bag and skip rope and do lots of things, and it was my father that really got me started in not just baseball but all sports.
Mm-hmm. And what did your father do?
My father was from Illinois. He played football in college and was a track star there. He went to Millikan University, they call it now, but it was James Millikan University in those days in Decatur, Illinois. And then he went to West Virginia Wesleyan, played under a great football coach that later coached the Philadelphia Eagles, Greasy Neal. Mm-hmm. So Dad had a great background in football and track, and Greasy Neal even played with the Cincinnati Reds. So I know Dad used to talk about him going out to the ballpark, and one day he was out there, he said he hit a home run when he was watching him. So I think Dad really liked baseball, but he only had one eye. He could only see out of one eye, and so baseball was tough for him because of the depth perception, but he was a great football and track man.
When did you know that you had what it took to become a professional baseball player?
Well, I don't know if I ever really reached that point where I felt like I had what it took, but I always had the desire to be a professional baseball player. I wanted to play baseball for a career. I'm not sure that I knew, even when I signed a major league contract, that I knew that I had what it took to be a major leaguer, but things seemed to fall into place, and I got lucky somewhere along the line.
Okay. Who signed you?
Well, that's an interesting story. I had accepted a scholarship to play football and baseball at the University of Oregon after I graduated from high school. I was a high school All-American quarterback, and I had several colleges recruiting me to play football. But in those days, they weren't giving scholarships much for baseball. So I was going to have to play football and baseball to get my college education. And my brother had graduated from the University of Oregon, and my brother-in-law. And I had been pretty familiar with that program over there. They had a great football and baseball program. And we had a United States Senator from my hometown by the name of Herman Welker, who used to go out to Griffith Stadium in Washington a lot, and became friends with Clark Griffith, who owned the Washington Ball Club at that time. And Senator Welker kept telling Mr. Griffith about a young boy in Idaho that he thought could help the Senators win some ball games. In those days, the Washington Club wasn't winning many games. Mm-hmm. They used to call him first in war, first in peace, and last in the American League. And I think more than anything else, just to keep Senator Welker quiet, Mr. Griffith sent Ozzie Bluegee out to see me, who was the farm director of the Washington Club. And I really think that he just intended to invite me to come to Washington for a workout with the club, not thinking about signing me at that time. And when Mr. Bluegee arrived in Idaho, it was rainy. And he rented a car in Boise and drove to my hometown, which was about 60 miles from Boise. And when he got there, we sat in his car, and I was supposed to play a game that night, but it didn't look like we were going to play because it had rained. And he said that the Washington Senators would like you to come to Washington and work out with the club. And I said, well, I appreciate that, Mr. Bluegee, but I'm going to go play football and baseball at the University of Oregon. And really hadn't intended to sign a contract at that time. And in that small town, everybody knows everything, of course. Mm-hmm. They knew that there was a major league scout there, and they got the field in order after it stopped raining. They even burned gasoline on the infield to dry it up, and we played that night. And I'd been going to that park since I was a little kid, and they had some pretty good teams came through there over the years, and I'd never seen anyone hit one over the left field fence at that ballpark. It was over 400 feet down the left field line, and
wow.
And that night, I happened to hit one over the left field fence. And Mr. Bluegee went out, stepped it off, said it was 435 feet, and he thought that was a pretty good hit for a 17-year-old kid, and mm-hmm. called Mr. Griffith and said, hey, maybe we should try to sign this guy. And Mr. Griffith authorized Mr. Bluegee to leave a contract in Senator Welker's law office, and he went back to Washington. And at that time, my father had passed away, and it was just my mother and I at home, and I talked it over with my mother, and I said, well, that's really what I wanted to do, was play baseball. I can always go to college, and if I go to college now, that's 4 years, I'd be 22 or 3 before I'm through college. And in those days, guys were having to go to the service for a couple of years, and then if I did sign, I might be 28, 29 years old before I had a chance to get to the major leagues. But the contract that Mr. Bluegee left was a bonus contract. And in those days, anything over a $6,000 salary was considered a bonus.
Right.
It's kind of laughable now when we look back at those times, but that's the way it was. And it was 3 years, $6,000 a year for 3 years plus $4,000 a year bonus. So I decided that's what I wanted to do, and my mother had to sign the contract because I wasn't of age yet.
Right.
And I signed the contract and went to the big leagues. And that rule was you had to stay there for 2 years before you could go to the minor leagues. And so I was there for 2 years and then finally went to the minor leagues.
Can you describe what it was like to go to Washington as you were 17, and how short of your 18th birthday were you?
Well, that was in May mm-hmm. of 1954, and I became 18 and June 29th of that year.
Okay. So you took a plane, you took a train, how'd you get from In
those days, there wasn't any jets, but I took a prop plane from Boise to Chicago, where the Senators were playing the Chicago White Sox, joined them there, and Mr. Bluegee's brother met me at the airplane, took me to the hotel, and there I met the manager, Bucky Harris, of the ball mm-hmm. club at that time, and several of the players, and that night we played the Chicago White Sox. I just sat on the bench that night, but the next day I was put in, of all things, as a pinch runner. Mm-hmm. And that was my first exposure to Major League Baseball, was as a pinch runner. And I got on first base, and there was Walt Dropo, who looked like he was about 9 feet tall and somehow I made it down to second base, and there was Chico Carrasquel at short and Nellie Fox at second, guys that I'd read about all my life, and I was wondering what I was doing there with those guys.
And, right.
Somehow I got through that.
What did you do after your first game?
I don't remember now exactly what I did, but
did you call back home at all?
Oh, sure. Used to call home quite frequently. Mm-hmm. And, of course, my brother was in the service. He was actually in somewhere at that time, and my mother. It was just my mother at home.
Mm-hmm. Who was your first roommate?
My first roommate in the major leagues was a veteran ball player by the name of Johnny Pesky.
Sure.
Old Needle Nose, mm-hmm. And Johnny was a great guy. He was from the Northwest, from Oregon, and I think they thought Johnny, being a veteran player and being from the Northwest, that he could help me learn the ropes, and he was a great guy. And that was a great experience being John Pesky's roommate.
Hey, when did you first go to Washington? I mean, when was the road trip over?
Well, the road trip was over, and I think we actually went from Chicago back to Washington, and I'll never forget when I got to Washington. The next day, they wanted to throw me some batting practice and see if I could hit the ball at all. And
mm-hmm.
So there was a veteran left-hander on the mound out there. I didn't really know who he was, and they had him throw to me. And in those days, the Griffith Stadium left field fence was over 405 feet down left field line. Long, biggest park in baseball. And this pitcher threw me everything up there. Curveballs, sliders, fastballs. I don't know if he threw any knuckleballs or not, mm-hmm. but I hit quite a few up in the seats, and they seemed to be impressed with that. And I really didn't think much about it, because I thought all the ballparks were like that in the big leagues. And I found out later that was Johnny Schmitz, a real veteran
sure.
pitcher. And so that kind of impressed him, but I think I was a little bit too naive to know what was going on at that time.
Where did you live when you moved to Washington?
I actually moved into an apartment with a friend of Johnny Pesky's, a man by the name of Russ Tuckey, who was a great man. At that time, he was working for the Pullman Train Company, and he had done a lot of different things in his career. He'd been manager of the Ice Follies. He had been in politics in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and he just kind of took me under his wing, as like he would a son, and mm-hmm. and cooked dinner for me and rented me a room in his apartment there, and that was great when we developed a relationship, and that was ongoing till he passed away several years ago.
So you stayed with him through the first couple of years there?
Just the first year. Okay. Just the first year. And then the following year, I actually got married and went back to school for a while, College of Idaho,
mm-hmm.
and went to Mexico in the wintertime to play winter ball.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was that like?
That wasn't a very good experience, mm-hmm. playing in Mexico. I was down there for 2 months and got sick and was kind of ill most of the time I was there. But the Warson Ball Club had a Cuban scout that had some connections with the Mexican people, and they thought that'd be a good place for me to play. His name was Joe Cambria, who mm-hmm. had scouted a lot of the Cuban players that the Warson Club had in the early years.
Mm-hmm. And what else did you do in the off season, or did that take the whole thing?
Well, in those days, we didn't have the luxury of not working or training like they do today, but we had to have different kinds of jobs. I did many different things. I worked in a clothing store, men's clothing store. I fed cattle one winter. Several winters I worked for a natural gas company selling connections to homes for natural gas. and just different odd jobs.
Okay, go back a little bit to your first season. How many games did you get into that year?
The first year, I didn't get into too many games. I got into very little. I hit 308 my first year, 4 for 13. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget the first ball game I played in. I played at second base. Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't really a second baseman, but somebody got hurt that day, and they put me in at second against the Philadelphia A's in Connie Mack mm-hmm. Stadium in Philadelphia. And I got 3 for 4 in my first game, 2 singles and a double, drove in 2 runs, and we won 9-2 against the A's. And I thought at that point, guys, this is going to be easy. I was thinking to myself, and I found out, you know, very quickly it wasn't going to be easy, and it took a long time mm-hmm. before I became a regular player.
So what did you do between games? I mean, you spent a lot of time on the bench.
Well, I think I learned a lot by just observing and watching, and of course I worked out before every ball game at home for hours, taking mm-hmm. batting practice, fielding practice, and trying to learn a lot of the things that I needed to learn. But it took my going to the minor leagues before I really learned those things that I need to learn to become a player.
In that first year, were there any other young players on the team?
Camilo Pascual was there with that ball club. Great Cuban pitcher.
You ended up spending a lot of time with him.
I did. I developed a relationship with a couple of the veteran players on the club. Mm-hmm. Roy Sievers and Jim Lemon, Pete Reynolds was there. Eddie Yost was still there for mm-hmm. for a few years.
When your reaction to the veteran players when you were there for a couple of weeks, I mean, how did you all get along? How did they treat a rookie?
Well, I think it was great. The players on that ball club were very helpful to me. And I never forgot that, and I always tried to help some of the younger players as I became a veteran player myself. Mm-hmm. And they treated me very, very well. And It's interesting because I was the first bonus player of the Washington Ball Club, and the attitude could have been different towards me, but they accepted me very well.
Hmm. Who's your favorite player that first year?
Well, I guess, are you talking about on the Washington Ball
yeah.
Club? Well, they had so many great players. We didn't win a lot of games, but they had some great players. Mm-hmm. Mickey Vernon was certainly one of my favorite players. Roy Sievers. Pete Reynolds, Eddie Yost, I mentioned, all great players and great people.
Your first trip to New York, what was that like?
Well, that was an experience too, going into Yankee Stadium for the first time. I'd heard lots of stories about Yankee Stadium, and to go into that great ballpark with so much history and nostalgia was a great experience. Just going to New York, to that great city, was certainly a big experience.
So that year, 54, that was one of the few years they didn't win the pennant, I believe.
It was. That year, Cleveland won 111 games, right. And had that great pitching staff there.
Did you get into any games against Cleveland that year?
I did the next year, but mm-hmm. I don't think I did that.
That was a heck of a pitching staff they had there.
Yeah, I got to hit against Bob Feller at the end of his career. He was throwing mostly slow curveballs, but mm-hmm. I wish I could have hit against him when he was throwing mm-hmm. his best. Of course, he had Bob Lemon and Early Wynn and Mike Garcia, Narleski and Mossy, great pitching staff.
So you, the offseason comes and you go to the Mexican League. So take me from there. What happened after that?
Well, that was. I was there for 2 months in Mexico mm-hmm. and then came home and went to work at home until I went to spring training. Mm-hmm. My first spring training was in 1955. And the guys on the ball club told me that Mr. Griffith didn't like the players to fly. And so I took a train from Payette, Idaho, to Orlando, Florida for spring training. It wasn't too bad from Payette to Chicago, but it seemed like it took forever to get to Orlando. And when I got there, the joke was on me because the players were flying in from all over the country. And that was the last time I ever took a train to Florida for spring training.
Mm-hmm. So what was your first spring training like?
We had a new manager in 1955. Charlie Dressen was with the Dodgers for a long time, became the manager of the club, and Charlie was an interesting individual. He thought that our ball club that finished just out of the first division last year could maybe finish well up in the first division with his managerial expertise. And as it turned out, we finished dead last here in the American League. But that was interesting.
Okay, what was your second year like, games and performances?
I hit my first four home runs the second year that I was there, and I guess the number one thing I'll always remember is that first home run I hit in the major leagues, and that was a home run against the Detroit Tigers. I hit it off of Billy Heft, who was a veteran left-hander of the Tigers, and when I went up to home plate, they had a catcher named Frank House was catching, and he said, I was only 18, he said, kid, called me kid, he said, kid, we're going to throw you a fastball. And I didn't know whether he was telling me the truth or he was lying to me. And sure enough, there came a fastball, and I hit it 476 feet. And I rounded the bases, and when I touched home plate, he said, kid, that's the last time we're ever going to tell you what's coming. So it was. I never heard a catcher ever tell me what was coming after that.
Who'd you room with your second year?
Let's see. Well, that year I may have roomed with, I'm not sure, the second year. It might have been Pesky that year, too.
Okay, was the team much different other than the manager?
No, it was Cookie Lavigetto. I actually roomed with the coach.
Yeah. Okay, why'd they do that?
I roomed with Cookie Lavigetto because I was a third baseman. Cookie Lavigetto was a great third baseman with the Dodgers. And and I think Charlie Dressen thought that maybe some of that would rub off on me, and he could help me with some of the finer points of playing third base. And Cookie did help me a great deal, helped me learn to play third base. He must have hit me 9 million ground balls at third.
Sure.
Showed me how to field a slow hit ball. The subtle things that you need to know.
Mm-hmm. Was the team much different the second year?
No. We had pretty much the same ball club with a few changes here and there, but it was pretty much the same.
Okay. After that season?
Well, I joined the club in June of 1954, and then in 1956, in June, my 2 years were up, and I could go to the minor leagues after that point, and they sent me to Charlotte in the Sally League, which was the Senators' Class A ball club, and I finished the year there and had a very good year playing third base. Hit 15 home runs and hit 325, and came back to Washington at the end of the summer.
Hey, was there ever sit-downs with general managers and they told you their plans for you, or what was the communication like back then?
No, not really. I remember talking to Raleigh Hemsley, who was a great, great catcher in the major leagues, and he was the manager of the ball club, and he first talked to me when I joined the club and said that the club wants you to learn to be a third baseman. You're going to play every day and relax and do the best you can.
Okay, so you shifted now. Was third base your
position? Yes, I actually signed as a third baseman. Mm-hmm. And I forgot to look at the the roster of the ball club, I guess, because they had a great third baseman in Washington by the name of Eddie Yost, and he was a very fine third baseman. They called him the walking man and a very popular guy, and captain of the club. And it took a trade of Yost before I actually got a chance to break in at third base.
Do you remember what the trade was?
They traded Eddie to the Detroit Tigers for Reno Batoya, another third baseman they thought could play play third. And as it turned out, I had a great spring training that year. That was in 1959. Mm-hmm. And I opened up the season at third base, hit a home run opening day, and won the last day of the season to win my first home run championship. Mm. Tied it with Rocky Colavito.
Right.
42 home runs.
Now let me just go back a little bit. How many years then did you go up and back between the minors and Washington?
Well, actually, the first year I went to Charlotte in the Solid League, and the next year I went to Chattanooga, a double A mm-hmm. team in the Southern Association. And I had a good year there. I led the league in home runs with 29. And some people say now 29 home runs is not very many, but it was a lot of home runs then. That was the biggest park in organized baseball, I think. So hitting 29 home runs was a lot, but I only hit 6 at home. And people say that's not very many home runs. And it was for a right-hand hitter in the Chattanooga ballpark.
Right.
Just was almost impossible to hit him over that left field fence there. But I got 6 of them, so that was a great experience for me. Playing third there, and I got to play for a great manager by the name of Cal Ermer.
Sure.
And Cal
eventually managed the Twins.
Yeah, Cal really worked with me and helped me not only with playing third base, but also with my hitting. Mm-hmm. And Cal Ermer was just all baseball, 24 hours a day.